Tomas, we are back, my friend. You know what that means? Time for a little bit more Tasty Live with Confirm and Send. Before we do, let's take a quick look at the market. Even the S&Ps, they're basically unchanged, sad enough, but you'll notice this big green tail down at the bottom here. They traded all the way down to 49.63. They're almost 5,050. They're almost 90 handles above where they were last night. NASDAQ down 19, Russell down 2, and the Dow down 14 or 15. Volatility up by 8 cents, sad enough, but you'll notice that big tail to the upside there. Volatility traded just under $20, 1970 on the high. It's 1745 unchanged right now. Bonds are up 21. They're trading 114.25, traded all the way up to 116.05. Again, a lot of these indices have had that kind of capitulation moment. Big move up in volatility, big spike down.
Like I said, I traded bonds all night, and I never saw them trade higher than 115.28, and I was offering them at 115.28.
You got filled at 115.
I know I sold some there, but I was offering more there, so they must have been one spike for 1 second over 116. I literally...
You didn't see it. It didn't happen.
That's right.
Basically.
Because I was watching the whole time.
Understood.
So that was not like they traded up there. But
gold was higher. Oil was up big. You had a lot of fear on last night.
Fear on.
That's all I want to say.
All right, we got
Netflix
a packed
down around 40.
Yeah, we got a packed show today. We got Jamal coming on next to talk about kind of, well, Navi probably changed his talk a little bit based on mm-hmm. what happened last night. Then we got Fast Markets, and it should be fun because it's expiration Friday. Then we've got a really good research piece by Jacob and the team, and then we've got Scott coming on. And he's going to answer some questions if you want to call in. It's a call-in day, so you can queue it up starting around 9:15, 9:20, and we'll get Scott on there.
And the market's back to normal. You scalped MES futures for your $2. Perfect.
There you go. Try my best. And let me explain, you made a comment yesterday talking about me, about there being a lot of rich premium, and that volatility hasn't been this high in a couple of years. My question is, although volatility is high compared with the last couple of years, is it high relative to other election cycles?
I don't know the answer. I would have to say it's not high just because we're near lows.
I mean,
1920 is average. We were 14, 15, 16 for the longest
time. I'd say, as of today, yeah, it's high, but a little bit higher than maybe normal.
17 and a half vol?
I mean, in 2008, we were a lot lower until we started getting crazy before the election. In 2012, I don't really remember. In 2016, we were a lot lower before the election. 2020, we were lower before the election. So, yeah, it's high. Yeah, I'm going to give the volatility right now a little bit of a nod, but it hasn't been there all year. It just got there in the last 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to the next slide. What do you do when a short put has moved against you and has no extrinsic value left? Do you continue holding till 21 days? Do you roll early to pick up more extrinsic? When this has happened to me in the past, I usually end up getting assigned before 21 days, which is why I'm asking.
Yeah, I can't remember the last time I was assigned on a short put that was going wrong that I didn't want to be assigned on, and I never want to be assigned on them. So I can't remember the last time I was assigned on a short put. So what I'm looking to do in this situation, I hope you've done prior to this, is roll down the untested side. When your delta changes by some number that makes you uncomfortable. For me, it's kind of like, 15 to 20 delta. So if I sell a 20 to 30 delta option and it gets to, 35 to 50, I'm looking to sell something on the other side at some point to reduce my delta. It doesn't use any more buying power. And then I continue to roll down if it keeps going that way. At or before 21 days, I'm looking to roll that whole thing from 1 month to the next. So I don't get assigned. It would be extremely rare to get assigned on a short put 21 days before expiration.
It would be, but if it's deep in the money, it is possible now that interest rates are higher.
Sure.
In the past,
sure.
it would be almost impossible.
It's maybe a couple percentage points easier now with interest rates than it was prior,
yeah.
But it's still extremely rare.
Yeah, but the first part of the question is, what do you do when a short put has moved against you with no extrinsic value? Do you continue holding for 21 days? Well, if you like the underlying, it's the same as being long it, so sure. Mm-hmm. You can. Do you roll early? I mean, you absolutely can to pick up more extrinsic. Both of those are are fine with us.
Sure.
And, you know, we rarely, like Tony said, I can't even tell you the last time I ever got assigned on something before 21 days. Mm-hmm. So that's rare. Let's go next slide. I've been trading the zero DT for the past 10 months and done really well. The 80-20 rule of over-under stated IV is very important and how I place my trades. During the 80% number, I can make a lot of money. And when tested, roll out 7 days with very little loss. But during the 20%, I can lose a lot of money and roll to lose even more. Is there any way to determine the 20% starting and ending time frame? Asking a very loaded question here. Is there any way to know when you're wrong, how wrong you're going to be?
Well, I was going to ask you, how do we find that out? That's why, I mean, I don't, size is the only way. I don't know any other answer here.
This is an incredibly,
when you think you know something, you don't probably.
Yeah. To be fair, there's no way that Tony or I could answer this question because we have no idea. If there was a way to determine, you know, what your outlier risk is in that 20% of the time, I think that everybody, you know, I think it would immediately become, it would immediately change all the mechanics, and then it wouldn't work anymore anyway. So I think what you can determine is what the CVAR is. So we can tell you
value risk.
Yeah, we can tell you what your worst 5% of all cases will be. I don't know if that helps you.
Mm-hmm.
We can't tell you to determine the starting and ending time frame of the worst 20%. We can tell you the results of the worst 20%. I'm sorry, of the worst 5% of the 20%. So if you take the worst 20% of the time, we can give you the worst results of 5% of those times.
Mm-hmm.
That's all we can do. If that makes sense or if that helps. Let's go next slide. Is there a way to know how much an index will move based on an after-hours move in one stock? So like a stock like Netflix opens down to 30 or 40 bucks, how do you know how much the NASDAQ's going to move or the S&Ps are going to move on that? Do you know?
No. I mean, no. Like how many points is Netflix?
Yeah, what does it mean for the index?
I mean,
how many S&P handles, things like that?
I mean, I'm sure there's a math model. I don't know what it is, and I wouldn't put a lot of weight in it.
I'm sure.
It's sure how much it represents. Every $10 in ABC stock represents 0.2% in the index, but I don't know what the rest of the stocks are doing in that index to let you know if that 0.2% is going to have any impact on it.
I'm sure when a stock like Netflix is down $40, if you had your choice whether to be long or short after that,
like
you would probably choose short. However, as you've seen this morning, they were just up 5 points 2 minutes ago. So to say that there's any way to know what one stock, the impact of one stock on the market's going to be, I'm going to tell you right now, my own experiences, it's impossible. I remember one time we were short IBM, and IBM missed after hours, and so the stock was down like, this is years ago.
You're picking out what house you were going to buy?
And the stock was down $8, and I was short. I was short the S&Ps big, and they opened up huge.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and IBM was down $8.
And that was back in the day when IBM was the market.
Exactly.
So goes the market.
So I don't think that this is possible. No. Let's go to the next slide. I mean, there is a math way you can tell exactly what impact it'll have, but I don't think that ultimately matters. When you're deciding if volatility is high in a specific underlying, what role does the VIX play, does IVR play, and does IVX play, which is the implied volatility VIX style of that individual underlying?
I mean, what typically if volatility is high, let's just use VIX, VIX, or let's just use VIX. If VIX is high, typically everything else is high too. So they do run in the same circles with each other. But there are many times when individual stocks have a high implied volatility without having earnings in them, and the market, you know, has a normal or low implied volatility. So it's IVR in the upper left-hand corner of the trading page on Tasty Trade is the one that I look at. Is that the individual stock?
So when you're deciding if volatility is high, the volatility measure that gives you, well, first of all, the VIX is high. If the VIX is over 20, it's high. Mm-hmm. I mean, right now it's high at 17.35. It's relatively high, higher than it's been. But that generally means all volatility is high. But you can't tell by looking at IVX, the volatility of a specific underlying, if that volatility for the underlying is high.
That's the monthly implied volatility.
Yeah, you can't tell if it's high relative to itself. So what you're going to do is you're going to look at IVR, because IVR gives you true context. IVR gives you whether or not implied volatility is high relative to itself. And that is like the key. Is the IVR of this underlying high relative to itself? And that's what... And that's what we do. So that's why if you look on the Tasty platform, right next to the symbol for the underline, the first thing we show you is implied volatility rank.
Right.
Because we want you to know if IVR is high relative to itself. Like I'm looking at SPX right now, and the implied volatility rank in SPX is 65. Yeah, that's high.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. From 0 to 100.
Okay, let's go to the next slide, and the last one. Is there any value in the various commitment of traders reports? Does it offer any insight or direction? This is a commodity report, by the way,
yes,
that shows the known position sizes of large traders.
That's correct, and it depends on who you ask. I know Pete Momat would reference this all the time. I had never heard about it until Pete. I mean, I had heard about it, but I never gave it any credence or would look to or for it, and I still don't. But Pete liked it, so it all depends on what you like, whatever floats your boat.
You know, for years, traders from the CME, they would always, like, lean on this report. You know, if you were a floor trader at the CME, you probably knew everything there was to know about the commitment of traders report, because that would sometimes, it would move markets. And, you know, a lot of the traders would lean on that for insight. Maybe it wasn't even insight for themselves, but it was insight for customers that moved the market, so they wanted to know what the customer was going to be trading off of. And so I would argue that for me and Tony and everybody here at Tasty, it means absolutely nothing. But I think for older commodity traders, I mean, they use it as an engagement tool to think about what customers are doing. I've never seen anybody make a dime off it. So for me, it has no value.
Let's take a quick 90-second break and come back. We got more Tasty Live coming up next with Jamal this week in stocks. We'll be back in 90 seconds.
The content of this podcast is created, produced, and provided solely by Tasty Live, Inc. and does not represent the direct views or opinions of any of its affiliated companies. This content is for informational and educational purposes only. It is not, nor is it intended to be, trading or investment advice or a recommendation that any security, futures contract, digital asset, other product, transaction, or investment strategy is suitable for any person. Trading securities, futures products, and digital assets involve risk and may result in a loss greater than the original amount invested. Tasty Live, Inc., through its content, financial programming, or otherwise, does not provide investment or financial advice or make investment recommendations. The information provided may not be appropriate for all investors and is provided without respect to individual investor financial sophistication, financial situation, investing time horizon, or risk tolerance. Tasty Live, Inc. is not a licensed financial advisor, registered investment advisor, registered broker-dealer, or registered introducing broker.